Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 304. McMonagle here with you. As I'm watching highlights of the NBA Finals, as the Celtics take a 3-0 lead, they are going to be champions yet again in Boston. As a, just an embarrassing performance from Luka, too. Just an embarrassing performance. He's going to get, I mean, as you saw on the post game or whatever, the Scott Van Pelt show, Brian Windhorst just absolutely lay into him, and he's 100% right. And Doris was doing it during the broadcast a little bit. Yeah, I was watching without much sound. He looked tired, slow. I know he's dealing with something, but his defense was just awful. And then he allows more than any other star in the game. Excuse me. More than any other star in the game. And it seems like the NBA is full of players who allow the refs and the calls to get to them. I mean, it's embarrassing. The way he allows his perception of bad calls to get into his head. And he is, I mean, that's clearly a blocking foul at the end of the game. If you didn't see it, he was fouled out with about 4 minutes left. So his team's within 3 points of the Boston Celtics in a must-win game three in their building. And he makes the horrendous decision to attempt to you know, set his feet and try and get a charge off of, you know, a few feet of space between. And it was just he isn't talented of enough defender to try and make that play. It's clearly a blocking foul. He goes to the floor. He throws a tantrum. He screams at the bench, "You better bleep and challenge that." It's challenged. It's clearly a foul. He's fouled out. He goes into the post game, complains about the referees. He's embarrassed himself here. He's looked awful, he's played awful, and he's just been mentally taking himself out of these games. I mean, he has been everything other than what you would want from your superstar player. And it's someone who, before this season, and with the way it ended last year with him and Kyrie, there was a lot of talk of possibly him being unhappy, wanted to come back, play with Jalen Brunson, someone who the Knicks could possibly target as that big-time star. And despite the fact that he's got his team to the NBA Finals, he is putting on a display that would really make me wonder if he is someone I would deem to be a star player that will bring me a championship. Because he mentally took himself out of the game. It was embarrassing to watch. But the Celtics, who have just been one of the, you know, the dominant force throughout the league the entire year, are going to win another. You know, I heard Keith talking about all the Boston championships, another Boston championship coming for the Boston Celtics. It's been a long time, 2008. But listen, they're the best team in the NBA. They have been all year. The coach did an amazing job to take over the team and with all that was going on around it a couple of years ago and to get them to this place, to have them playing the way they played all year long, and then to just steamroll through the postseason, let's be honest. Just steamroll. Just out of sheer boredom, they allowed a game to Miami. I mean, they just absolutely dominated this entire playoffs and are walking through the Dallas Mavericks to an NBA title. The other NBA story, obviously, Jerry West passed away, but it was before my time, so I'm not sure I can speak to it. I got to, I don't know if I'm aware of, you know, who the Wright brothers were. So I don't know if I can talk about Jerry West or not. But Jerry West, I shouldn't bother with that guy during, with Jerry West, who obviously is one of the logo, one of the great players and basketball minds and talent evaluators. I mean, you want to talk about the whole package. I mean, Jerry West is one of the great basketball minds and basketball figures in this country's history. I mean, from the incredible player he was and the competitor he was with the Lakers, and then obviously how he shaped the NBA over multiple decades, being one of the architects of the Showtime Lakers in the 80s, to putting together Shaq and Kobe, and then to having a major hand in what became the Golden State Warriors. I mean, just one of the great executives and one of the great players to ever lace him up. Just a massive figure. He's the logo. He's a massive figure inside NBA basketball. And it's sad that he to hear that he passed yesterday. And, you know, a lot of people have mentioned that the game, Game Time, or I think it was it Winning Game? I can't remember the name of the show. Everybody made the same mistake.
And I'm winning like, Time?
Oh, Winning Time. Game Time, Game Winning, Winning Time. The HBO show, which I thought was excellent. I was disappointed that it got canceled. I don't know what happened. I don't know if, I think it was like right around the time of the writer's strike or something, and they felt awkward promoting it. I think I read a story like that. And the second season just didn't get any momentum. I thought it was a great show, and I'm disappointed it's not around. Obviously, Jerry West was an integral part of the show and extremely unhappy with how he was portrayed, which was probably a bit of an angry, bitter alcoholic. I mean, that's how he was portrayed. Genius, no doubt. A driving force of the turnaround that the Lakers became and the championships that were built, no doubt. But personally, a troubled man, really, is how he's portrayed in the show, which he denies. And certainly that has never been the case publicly that we know of when we've seen him. But I mean, just a major competitor and a great player. And one of those guys who life would have been a lot different had he had a three-point line. Or didn't have to, you know, take on the Celtics and Bill Russell every year. That's right, I know who Bill Russell is. I'm aware. I mean, him and those Milwaukee Buck teams were dominant. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. We got Steve in Orange County. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man. What's going on?
No, so that guy was delusional before. He certainly was. So it made me think of two, just as a Yankee fan, it made me think of two names, and I was wondering where you go. Obviously, Pedro, I can't imagine ever cheering for that guy. 3,000, 5,000 strikeouts in Yankees, I don't care. I would never cheer for him. The other guy, I was thinking, imagine this. It's a horrible thing to imagine, but Jose Altuve gets his 3,000th hit in Yankee Stadium. Yeah. What are we doing?
We got to applaud the greatness.
Yeah.
We got to recognize the game. You see, but that wouldn't even bother me as much as applauding him after a three-run home run that beats me in a know-nothing game in June. Like, it's one thing, like, they keep bringing up I'm losing in my mind here. The franchise of the Mets. Why am I losing my mind on his name? Tom Seaver. My God. Sometimes, yeah. I wonder. Tom Seaver winning his
You don't know your
game.
History.
I don't know my history. I'm watching Jerry West. Anyway, yeah, Tom Seaver getting his 300th win at Yankee Stadium in front of probably a lot of Met fans. But if you hit a crowning achievement of your career, and especially for someone who never caused the Yankees any grief, you know, like, it's that's, I think, applauding someone who has now solidified themselves as a Hall of Famer and established a landmark of an entire career's work. I think that's okay. But having a young kid like we saw in Pittsburgh pitch 6 1/3 innings and of scoreless baseball and walk off the mound to a rousing ovation from the it's crazy.
I know.
It's just, it makes absolutely no sense to me. And then here's another thing I'll say, because someone keeps hitting me up on Twitter about this. The idea, and it's starting to bother me a little bit, the idea that I'm somehow being disingenuous about this or being contradictory because I am not forcing my son to root for a specific team, that somehow, oh, you can get on fans for applauding a rival, but you allow your son to root for the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, somehow, if that is like the same thing. I don't understand. Like, people are nuts. People are nuts. My son's 6 years old. He likes the team he saw win the Super Bowl. It might not last forever. Yeah. I have no idea. But I'm not going to say, no. I'm not getting you that. I'm not allowing this. You're a Giant fan. I don't care if I have to drag you kicking and screaming. You're a Giant fan. As the same as if we were Giant fans at the stadium and we go there and, you know, Jalen Hurts throws for 600 yards and 7 touchdown passes, and then we all got to go like this at the end of the game. Like, there's a difference.
Absolutely.
All right, anything else?
No, thanks.
I appreciate your call. I thought you wanted to talk Yankees. Yeah, somehow that's contradictory. That I have to, I'm telling fans what to do in one vein, and I'm allowing my son to do other things without telling him what to do. I guess that's the problem. Like, I don't understand. Is this really complicated? I don't really want to make a thing of it. We did it yesterday. It's over. Someone called me about it. I didn't bring it up. Someone called me about it. I didn't just come out of the break going, hey, remember that thing yesterday? Someone referenced it and pissed me off with some condescending crap, but it's okay to give a standing ovation to our rivals in the heat of the moment? Like, if you want to go to Cooperstown and celebrate, you know, if you consider Pedro Martinez, I know you use him because I'm a Yankee fan and he's one of the greats of all time in my estimation. He's one of the handful of greatest pitchers to ever play the game, and I hated him. And I can't imagine applauding him. But if you're a Yankee fan who, for whatever reason, you know, based your life and childhood off of watching Yankees Red Sox and feel that passionate about it, and, you know, think of Pedro now looking back on it fondly and want to go to Cooperstown and applaud him for getting into the Hall of Fame, okay. I'm not saying you can't ever show respect to the guy. I'm not saying I have to walk up to the street and throw hands with him. Like, obviously, I respect how great he is, but in the moment at Yankee Stadium, he is not getting my applause. Rocco at Saratoga Springs. What's up, Rocco?
Hello, Chris.
What's going on?
I just wanted to know if, hey, everything is great, great. I was at the...
You were at the Belmont? Did you go to the Belmont? You go to the Belmont Steaks?
Are you kidding, Chris? You know what a zoo toga was? Oh, my God.
I can't imagine.
People will start looking for parking spaces. Our friend that lives a few blocks away from the track, people were asking if they could park in their lot.
Sure.
It's their long driveway leading to their barn. They wanted to, you know, they said, this is our driveway. I don't think so. They could have gotten $100 a car.
Yeah, they should have.
It was a zoo. Yeah. I guess everyone
had a
good
time. Anybody wants to park in my driveway for
$100
away. Just give me a call. I'm telling you right now.
Move up to Toga, buy a house, and, you know, when the track's open, they'll pay anything to park close to the track. Are you kidding? Yeah. It was funny. It was funny that there was a lady with high heels. They showed high heels, and they told her that she had to walk to her car because they shut down the traffic. She said, "I'm parked all the way by the mall, and I took the shuttle bus." And she was wearing high heels, and the cops just said, "No traffic coming through. We don't want it'll be all congested."
Yeah.
So this lady took off her heels and started walking. So, no, thanks, Chris. No, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But I got a trivia question for you, Chris.
Oh, great.
You probably know
this. Old-time Yankee?
Yeah, I know. Come on. Who was the 13th president of the United States? I know you know it.
I'm not Abraham Lincoln. Everybody knows that.
It was Fillmore. Millard Fillmore.
Richard
Fillmore?
Just sure.
For the record, just everyone knows that, but
yeah,
Chris, come on. Read your history books,
I know.
Chris.
I know.
Come on. Is he serious?
No,
we talking
wasn't.
Next he'll be asking geography questions. No. Hey, do you know where Outer Mongolia is? Okay. Come on. By Russia, by the way. Okay. By Russia, just in case you wanted to.
Rocco, everyone knew you would know that answer. No, my point, his point was to be condescending and to say, You should know your history. I mean, just because it happened before your time doesn't mean you don't know it. The first president was hundreds of years before your time, but you know it. Like, that was his point. He's being obnoxious.
Okay. Yeah, I know, but come on. You know. Yeah. I know a lot about Yankee history. I know a lot about baseball. I know a lot about sports. Do I know everything?
No.
Hell no. I wasn't there. I didn't see the Babe hit his 60. Yeah, I don't. But I know he hit 60.
Well, of course.
I know about the team.
Of course, Rocco, it's exactly right. Like, if I'm, and most of the time, if I say it's before my time, it means I can't speak to every aspect of it. It's not that I'm unaware of it. I know Babe Ruth called his shot. If someone asked me, "Do you think he did?" I don't know. It was before my time. I didn't see it. Yeah, that guy was just being a condescending jerk. That's okay, though. We don't have to focus on it or make it the whole show. Because we got other things to discuss. Like, what is an out-there trade as we try and focus on the deadline? And every Yankee fan who calls me, I've been on and on, impressed with this offense, dominating the Kansas City Royals. I think they've done a nice job coming off their first series loss in what feels like a month by absolutely pounding the Kansas City Royals. We're talking about Judge, Player of the Week, how good Judge is. He's the best hitter since Barry Bonds, which, by the way, I feel like I've been on the forefront of two conversations that are happening everywhere in the last 2 days. One, I said Judge was the best hitter since Barry Bonds like a week ago, and now, you know, I turn on SNY, it's the main conversation I'm having. I listen to Ken Rosenthal. They talk, like, I said that a week ago. And typically I don't do stuff like this where I toot my horn, but I feel like after my baseball acumen has been challenged, I feel like I'm going to do it. And then the other one is Pete Alonso. I gave you the Pete Alonso to the Yankees like a month ago. And that's kind of made its ways around the circles here over the last few days. But I'll make another one here. Maybe I'm a trendsetter. We'll see if this one catches on. A Yankee trade that's out there, that's different, that would be a massive, massive upgrade, bringing a star player to the New York Yankees. And something happened today that made me think it could be possible. So we'll get to that next.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, 326, McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. All right, so obviously everyone's talking about the Yankees and the trade deadline, right? That's what we're focused on. How they're going to improve at first base, maybe get a third baseman. How do they improve? Well, I thought of a wacky one today because I was thinking about it and something happened that really made me wonder. And you know, I've been all over the Toronto Blue Jays. I've been all over the Blue Jays calling them frauds. I don't trust this core group. Never have. I think they're overrated. I think because there's juniors and, you know, former Hall of Fame players as fathers to this group and great players to this group, that it's been kind of overrated. And this offense has never been as good as we thought it was. And now the pitching is really at the forefront of this team more than even the hitting. And they've really struggled. And they are a million games out of first place with no real chance of catching the Yankees or the Orioles. And yesterday, they traded Biggio to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And so I started thinking when I heard that, I'm like, not that Biggio is a major piece. He's kind of been a disappointing prospect for them overall. But as this team has now kind of seen, I mean, like Springer, I don't know if Springer has much left necessarily. And you're seeing guys really underachieve throughout the lineup. If they feel like they've hit their limit with this, last year they tried to change the team a little bit and get more defensive minded with, you know, Varsho and some of the things they did. Obviously, I mean, they got IKF playing third base now. I mean, the team is just a shell of itself. They can't. They haven't scored runs. The Yankees have three hitters, as you saw on the graphic last night. If you're watching the Yankee game, Judge, Soto, and Stanton have more home runs than the Toronto Blue Jays do as a team. And, you know, Bichette's having a down year. And so would the Blue Jays be willing to break this thing up? Are they looking to break this thing up and start anew in Toronto? And I don't think that's that crazy, because if you look at it, they were willing to spend money, right, for Ohtani last year. And so I could see them, like, if they have money in the coffers right now, but they don't deem these players as suitable, you can trade for prospects now, see if you can build the team up, and then add other free agents with the money, maybe be in the Juan Soto game next year, maybe be in some of the high-priced shopping of a, and try and change your organization rather quickly by trading away some of these bigger pieces, spending money, and having a new young core along with some big-time free agents. It's not the craziest thing I've heard, considering the failures of this group, and I do think the group has had a failure. So here's my thought. Vladimir Guerrero plays first base. Vladimir Guerrero, despite never wanting to play for the Yankees, I think would welcome being thrusted into a playoff race and a pennant race, playing at Yankee Stadium where he's had massive success. He's got a year of control next year. So he's under contract. He'll be a free agent at the end of next year. He makes about $19 million this year, so the Yankees would have to pay half that salary. And then next year, arbitration, he'll probably make somewhere around 22, 23. But if you want to stack the deck, as Keith says, if you want to bring in a major piece to change this lineup even further, if you want to add another impact middle of the order bat, I don't know if, I mean, Pete Alonso and the Mets are a tough trade. Vladimir Guerrero and the Blue Jays are a tough trade. But I could see the Blue Jays willing to break this up. And if they are, if the Yankees would be willing. Now, here's the thing, and I want Yankee fans, partially one of the reasons I wanted to do this is I want Yankee fans to understand what you're giving up if you want players like this. This is Spencer Jones. This is Spencer Jones. This is Spencer Jones and Ben Rice. This is a major, major haul to get Vladimir Guerrero, who is not having a great year, who is hitting 282, 7 home runs, 30 RBIs, and a 781 OPS. And last year, he only had a 788 OPS. A far cry from his monster year of 21, where he hit 48 home runs, hit 311, led the league in on-base, slugging, OPS, OPS+, plus, total bases. I mean, he's got black bold print runs, 123, all over that year. And since then, it has not been the same. But if you are looking for the Pete Alonso trade that was thrown out there today, if you are looking for a major upgrade and not just upgrading marginally, and not bringing up a prospect like a Ben Rice or getting a Rengifo or someone who, you know, is probably just a little bit better at different things than Rizzo and or LeMahieu. If you are looking for that, let's go make sure this is the year. Let's go win a title and the future be damned. It's not the craziest idea. And you put him in the middle of that lineup with Soto. So you would have Soto, Judge, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Stanton, Volpe at the top of that order, Verdugo, Gleyber Torres. I mean, that's an impact bat. You'd have him for this year and next year. And theoretically, I mean, it's an expensive first baseman at $23 million. It's probably more than I would have thought, but it's 1 year. I don't think it hinders you major to go sign Juan Soto. It's not like you're trading for a player who's going to make a ton of money. You're probably not going to re-sign him, would be the thought. It's for 2 years. You re-sign Juan Soto, and you go chase a championship for the next 2 years with Vladimir Guerrero in the middle of your lineup. It's not crazy. I don't think the Blue Jays would do it, but I think they're going to look to... I know it's only Biggio, but they did it so early. And they're still in the wild card picture. I don't think they can win the division. I think the Yankees and Baltimore Orioles are far better than they are. But I've said it from a long time. I don't trust this team at all. Never did. They are frauds. Have been saying it for years. I don't trust Bichette. I don't trust Vladimir Guerrero. I mean, I'm willing to... I'm not even saying I would do this trade. I'm just throwing it out there. Because I don't really... I think Vlad's hasn't been nearly what we expected him to be. But it would change the dynamic of this team a little bit. It would add a major pop in the middle of this lineup. And if they're selling already, they might be willing to break this whole thing up. Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Pete?
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Just, yeah, I mean, if you could get Guerrero, are you kidding me? That'd be great. But anyway, just, yeah, I saw Jerry West on the tail end of his career. But just to go over a few things. So this guy played 14-year All-Star. Now, Chris, this guy was the original Mr. Clutch.
Right.
And just a few trivia things for him. He was an all-defensive player four times. He only won one championship as a player. However, yep. A few trivia things. He was the only player to be an MVP on a losing team.
Yep.
So in 1968, they lost a championship, but he was the only player. Plus, he was Mr. Clutch. So as a trivia question, he was only one of four players that scored over 30 points in the NBA Finals. Rick Barry, KD, and Jordan with the other one. So despite him being, really in the Finals, they lost. So it wasn't because of him. The other thing with Jerry West, he averaged 27 points. He was a deadly outside shooter. If he had the 3-point line, he would have easily averaged over 30 points. Jordan and Chamberlain were the only 30-point scorers ever. The other thing, he was part of the 72 team that won 33 straight.
Yep.
As a GM, he won seven championships. I mean, he stalled. I was hoping the Knicks would get him. He stalled Brian, Kobe. In the draft, you got Shaquille O'Neal. So this guy was excellent.
Excellent. He's one of the great. He's one of, if not the best, talent evaluator in NBA history.
Incredible, right?
Yeah.
And a tremendous play. I wish the Knicks had. And then he started with the Warriors, etc. So
sure.
Super players. Super. And in high school, he actually came. They practiced one day. He was a really nice guy. He was actually talking to the students. So really nice guy too. But we beat him though in 1969 and 1970. So
sure
that's
did.
Clyde Frazier had that really great game and great seven. Anyway, Chris, if I don't talk to you, happy Father's Day. And,
oh, thank you.
I loved the story yesterday with your son. That was a smart play with the touchdown. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, you got it. Thank you. Yeah, no, that was a smart play, all right. He's a smart guy. He's a little smart aleck running audibles. Running play action pass, and the coach has no idea what he's doing. Phil in Long Island. What's up, Phil?
Hey, C-Mac. Great show. Really enjoyed listening to you.
Thank you. What's up, bud?
Real quick, till I get to my judge question, I just wanted to give a shout-out, R.I.P. Jerry West. One of the things that he did that was a great thing that people don't talk about much is the Warriors were getting ready to trade Thompson for Kevin Love, and he was there as a consultant. And he threatened to walk away if they made that deal. And we all know how that went with Thompson staying.
Yeah.
So a lot of people don't talk about that. They talk about the Kobe trade and all those accomplishments.
No, he helped build the Warriors. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he's got his hands on multiple dynasties. He is a great player, obviously, one of the great greats of all time. He's the logo. As a player, he is, just historic. But, I mean, as a talent evaluator, he might be even better. I mean, he might separate himself from everybody else more as a talent evaluator than even he did as a player. It's crazy.
Absolutely. If he was a GM in New York, they might rip him, though, because you're only as good as you were the day before.
Well, that's absolutely
getting to Judge.
Yeah.
Getting to Judge. Huge Yankee fan, love Judge. Obviously was accomplished over his career, rookie year and 50 homers, breaking the record with the 62 and what he's doing this year. My quick question for you is, when you look at Judge, and you look at the period he's had over the last 3 years, I mean, that's Bonds-like. But in terms of a 10-year sample size, would you put him above guys like Pujols and Miguel Cabrera, Triple Crown winner, four batting titles, multiple-time MVPs?
Yeah.
Would you put him in that ilk? Because that's a bigger sample size when you get to Cabrera and Pujols. Not minimizing Judge. He's outstanding. But those two guys, if you look at what they did over a 10 to 15-year period, it's insane between power, batting average, hitting in the postseason. I want to know where you stand on something like that.
Yeah. Obviously, I've said, in my opinion, he's the, and thank you for the call. In my opinion, he's the best hitter I've seen since Barry Bonds. Now, Albert Pujols had a, you know, had an incredible career and was a, yeah, an average, and, you know, he was a great hitter. Miguel Cabrera, Triple Crown winner, great hitter. And to be fair, we have, you know, New York bias. We watch him every day. I didn't watch Pujols every day play in St. Louis. Anaheim, he didn't play well, but I mean, his the beginning part of his career is only matched by Joe DiMaggio and stuff. I mean, it's remarkable how good he was at the start of his career, and what a great hitter Miguel Cabrera was. But we are seeing slugging percentages that we didn't see from those two gentlemen. We are seeing a force inside a lineup that you can't pitch to, even different than those two guys, in my opinion. They're great. They've had the better career. Judge, I can't tell you Judge has had a better career or is more worthy of being Hall of Famers than those two gentlemen. Not yet. But in the moment, as great as those two guys were, I don't know if either of them were ever as good as Judge was this last month. Now, it's a month. But I'm just, when I say the best player, best hitter since, I'm just talking about what we're watching right now in the moment. When Judge comes up to the plate, assuming he's in the lineup tomorrow against Kansas City, that will be the best hitter that stepped to the box since Barry Bonds in the early 2000s. That's what I believe. Not the best career, not the best 10-year span, not the most worthy of Hall of Famers. I'm just saying, in that moment, him stepping up to the plate, he's as dangerous as any hitter since Barry Bonds. That's what I believe right now. And that's not just a hot month. That's not just a hot week where you could say that about anybody. You know, there was a time where, Josh Hamilton in Texas, you could have argued that point. But he's done it long enough. He had a season of it in 2022. This is how he plays almost every time he takes the field. As long as he is healthy, this is who he is. I believe he's getting better, and it's getting to the point where I don't know if you can pitch to him, and I haven't felt that way about anybody since Barry Bonds. So yes, would I take Judge right now over Albert Pujols at any point in his career? I would. Would I take Judge over Miguel Cabrera at any point in his career, including a Triple Crown winning season? I would. I do believe pitching is harder now than it's ever been. It's harder now than it was when those two gentlemen were in their primes. Everybody throws 100. Everybody throws 96, 97 at the bare minimum. They have every reliever throws that hard. The numbers throughout baseball are down. When Albert Pujols was doing it in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, numbers were up. We were still in a different era of baseball. Everybody's down. Look at the guys who hit 300. Look how many players hit 300. In the mid-2000s when Pujols was playing, and look how many guys are hitting 300 now. It's a different game even in the last 15, 16 years. It's harder than ever. So in my opinion, and he's doing it still at an incredible clip, he's going to hit way more. He's going to hit 55, 60 home runs. I mean, he's doing things home run-wise that we haven't seen since Barry Bonds, since Mark McGwire, since Sammy Sosa, hitting 60 on a regular basis. Now, he's got to do it still, but, I mean, yeah, I would. I'd say he's better. He still has a whole career ahead of him, and he's got to, you know, do it a lot more to be on the same level of those guys come Hall of Fame time or whatever. But in the moment, over the last 3 years, when he's healthy and playing, nobody's been better. Nobody. Nobody since Barry Bonds. That's how good he is right now. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you until 5 o'clock. All right, we got to get to the Aaron Rodgers stuff, right? We got to yell about Aaron Rodgers. Because now it's, oh, he's on vacation. Now it's more than just one day. He needs to be there.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 347, McMonagle here with you. On The Fan, 888-808-1019. You also hit me up on Twitter, at CMACWFAN. So obviously we learned a little bit more about the Aaron Rodgers situation since we last spoke. Although, not much more, I suppose, other than he's on vacation. Much like Forrest Gump's father. He's on vacation. We're not sure where or when he's coming back, but he's on vacation. So, do I have a differing opinion now that he's going to miss all of mandatory minicamp, that it's for a vacation that he had planned while he was injured, according to Connor Hughes? At least that's where I've seen it mainly, but I think it's pretty much widely accepted that's the scenario. While I do feel different about it in some aspects, I'll be fair. I'm adaptable. I'm willing to get new information and slightly change my mind in some ways. I will say this. One, there are problems with the idea that he's planning a vacation or whatever it is months in advance. And I understand, oh, and once the timelines hit, once the camps were scheduled, like, I don't know what you're doing, who you're doing it with, but you know that the camp, the mandatory part of the camp, is going to fall within some time in early June. Don't plan a trip for this time. It seems pretty silly and simple to me. Right? I mean, so there are obvious things like, and I, because I go on and on about him being all in. And I think he has shown you at every turn being all in. But openly, while you're recuperating from injury, while you're busting your ass to get back, to plan a vacation for next June that is so, you know, hard and fast that you, no matter what happens, you can't change it, seems pretty silly to me for someone who's willing to take the fine of not being there. So and we all know how much money he's got, so it's not like he can't change his plans and move it a week or whatever. But ultimately, the Jets knew about it. He told them. And I will change my mind on the idea that the Jets did nothing wrong. Because I told you yesterday that I didn't think, first of all, they have to call it, I'm firm on this, it has to be called unexcused. It has to be. They are dealing with, as an organization, and while players get preferential treatment, while stars get their way more than the punt team, like, we understand that, you can't openly just say, yeah, he went on vacation, it's fine. Like, you have to call it what it is, which is unexcused. It doesn't mean that the entire organization is furious with him. It doesn't mean that they didn't know about it. It just means you can't call it anything other than that, because it sets a precedent of other players asking for the same treatment. So I have no problem. I understand that's what sent it off in a tizzy. I do think now,
understanding everything that happened, the amount of time ahead of time that they had to know about this, like literally told them months in advance, apparently. There was no reason while he was here, while the media had been there, while they had met multiple times, while he was at voluntary workouts just a week and a half ago, to just say, hey, by the way, we're glad he's here during the voluntary workouts. He's been great. He's helping everyone. He's got something going on next week. Next week, he's not going to be here. It is inexcused. It's something personal to him, but he's not going to be here. It would have been better than just, hey, he's not here. It's unexcused. They could have handled it a little bit better. Last night, I wasn't so sure they could have. Today, I feel differently. They made more of a story of it than they had to. There was ways around it. But ultimately, this is the biggest non-issue ever. I still feel pretty confident in saying this has nothing to do with anything. I don't question his want to. I don't question his desire. I don't question his all-in. I don't even think the way it's been handled is going to drive any sort of wedge between him and the coach or anything else. This is meaningless crap that gets forgotten about in 2 days. No one cares. Would I rather have him there than on vacation? Sure. Does it seem odd that after being all in the way he's been, despite everything else, everything he's saying in interviews and podcasts and opportunities he passed up along the way that have become stories, everything else, he's been all in. So is it odd to me that he's planning vacations now? This is his thing, right? He's probably got 40 people going. I would think that if it were just him or him and one or two significant others or friends, he would be able to change it, but he's probably got a bunch of people attached to this thing that can't change their plans. I don't know. My point is, it sounds ridiculous. I agree. But ultimately, it's meaningless. I don't understand. I understand. Like, I listen to Boomer. I understand he's a professional athlete, right? And he understands building a team and the camaraderie of it. Listen to the teammates talk about him. Listen to Reed talk about him. Like, they are all in on this guy at a level I don't know if we've ever seen. Like, I think he has come in and changed everything about this team, and he's been there for every moment of it. He's made connections with everybody. He's done everything you could possibly do. I don't know why he went on vacation, but ultimately it means absolutely nothing. It has no impact on the team, on the what will happen week one. It has zero impact. Would I rather have him there? Would I rather have him stop talking? Yeah. Would I rather have all of it just be about playing football for the New York Jets, where he has other things going on in his life? Yes, I would rather have it that way. But it's not going to change anything. This is a Hall of Fame caliber player. This is a four-time MVP. This is one of the greats to ever do it, who happens to know this offense better than he knows his vacation schedule, for sure. Like, he knows this offense like the back of his hand. I just have very little care or desire to make an issue out of this. I don't think it is. I think he told his teammates. I think he's aware of the fines. I think it became probably a bigger story than they thought. And ultimately, he's probably not thrilled with the perception, but it won't matter. Fleegs, you're a big Jeff fan. I know yesterday you didn't care. Did the circumstances of it being a vacation, did the circumstances of him telling, like, what changed for you yesterday from where we were when we last spoke? Anything different?
Just slightly, kind of like you. I mean, listen, it's in the grand scheme, it's meaningless, because if he wins, everybody will forget all the other nonsense. Right. And if he doesn't, then everybody will just magnify this. But he should be there. It would be better for everybody involved if he was there. And yeah, I think there's so much anti-Rodgers stuff that has been going on since he was with the Packers forever, because people don't like him. And I get, like, listen, I don't like a lot of the stuff he does, says. I get all that. And they tend to then conflate that with him as a quarterback, him as a teammate, and they mix the things that don't go together. So it shouldn't happen. It makes, you know, some of the, like, the outrage in national media just, like, absurd. But also, like, if you're Rodgers, and I kind of will fault him more than the Jets, because the Jets, obviously, I'm sure they would like him there when they discussed it. You know, I'm sure they didn't say, well, that's great, just go off and... Sure. I'm sure behind closed doors, they made the pitch, hey, like, can you show... Like, there's really... There's nothing they could have done to avoid this storm.
Correct.
Rodgers himself, for somebody who's so particular and cares so much, he's like A-Rod in this way. Yeah. They like to play, oh, I'm carefree, whatever. They care about every single word, Durant, every single word that is ever said about them.
Yeah.
They care. If there's 100 positive things and one negative,
right,
they're only thinking about the negative.
Right.
So if you're Rodgers and you know you think you're so smart, you have to understand that this is going to be a story.
No.
Whether you think you're justified or not, whatever, you have to know that when you're not there, that this is going to blow up. And that's where like he's going to eventually take questions from it. He's going to have to deal with some of this, the stuff out there. It's nonsense. It's not that big a deal. But it's of his own creation, his own making. And so he's got to deal. Like, if he complains about it, honestly, Aaron, then shut up.
No. No, that's 100% true. If he has complaints about how it was perceived, much like I saw Hassan Reddick, right? He tweeted out.
Right, him too. He, don't buy this stuff. What's there to buy? You didn't show up.
Like, that one really bothered me more than even the Rodgers stuff. Because, like, I get it. And I've said this forever. I will never begrudge an NFL player for wanting money. Never. With the way the contracts are structured, with how, you know, difficult it could make the rest of their life. Like, they are literally putting their life in their hands, their health for their, you know, golden years. Like, we've seen it. I mean, they do that all so I can enjoy my Sundays. Like, go get money. I have no problem with them holding out. None. I have more of a problem with the Jets making a trade for him instead of just paying Huff if they knew they were going to have to pay him. Like, that's the conversation we should be having. Instead, we're having the conversation about the holdout. But if he's going to tweet out, like, don't believe everything, then just tell us what's up. You have athletes today have a more direct and a stronger ability to get out their truth, and let's just call it that, their truth out there than more than ever before. I mean, it was always easy. Get a reporter, talk to him. But if you want to tweet out what you think is happening or your side of the story, go for it. Don't just tell us, oh, well, you know, don't believe what you read. Well, I want to believe what I read, so tell me what to believe. We all know you're holding out for more money. No one's, I don't think anyone's even getting on him for it.
And it's not going to change the fact of, like, it's not going to, oh, so the Jets don't know that this is why I didn't show up to OT. Like, everybody knows the reason why. If you have a point, just say it.
That was one of the more, I could understand Rodgers coming out that tweet. Like, don't believe everything. I'll address it in time. Like, the idea, we all know why you're not there. You're holding out for a contract. It's the same reason the Eagles were willing to trade you. It's because, you know, you're holding out for a contract. We all knew it. But, oh, no, don't worry. Don't believe everything you read. You're not there, bro.
And if you're not going to speak about it, like, you know, the narrative has been that, okay, at the time of the trade.
Right.
He is probably not going to get an extent. You let the team and whatever else, maybe the Jets are leaking stories, you let everybody else control the narrative if you don't get out there and say something.
Right. And then to complain about the narrative when you did, you could have easily controlled the narrative, it's mind-boggling. It's absolutely mind-boggling. I understand why he's holding out. I think eventually they'll come to a deal, I would think. You don't trade for this kind of player on a must-win year like this and not get the contract done. I think they'll get the contract done. But ultimately, I mean, I personally, I have a hard time understanding playing hardball with them on some aspect because, like, they could have just given the contract to Huff. Like, I mean, I understand he hasn't been as prolific, and over the last 4 years, we saw him make plays in the NFC Championship game. No one's, you know, he's fourth in sacks over the last 4 years. But, like, if you were going to not want to give him the contract the minute you made the trade, wouldn't you rather have the younger, possibly just, you know, coming into his own gem that you kind of found and established and give him less money than trading away Reddick and then paying him? Like, the whole situation kind of doesn't make sense. And now Reddick, to me, coming out and saying, well, listen, don't believe everything you read. No, we know exactly what to believe. You want more money, so you're not there. That's what's happening. And by the way, I'm cool with it. And I think most people understand it. All right, 4 o'clock. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 1 hour left. We'll come back. Take your phone calls on all this nonsense. Oh, and then plus, there's one from one aging veteran quarterback to another. I can't tell you how tired and sick, and I'll go in reverse order on that one, I am with Tom Brady. In the middle of June, they need to pack that stadium. to retire his number. He can't just get a halftime like everybody else. He can't just pick the Jet game that, you know, or I know they're going to be terrible this year, so they'll probably be down 20 points at the half, and God forbid he's anywhere near losing, but they got to pack the whole stadium. It's embarrassing. I'm so freaking tired of this guy. I can't turn on Netflix without him. Everywhere I turn, he's going to be on the broadcast. Now he's sitting there in that stupid, ugly red jacket, and they're retiring his number in front of 80,000 people, and they got to bring Belichick out again when he knows he hates the owner. Like, it's just a bunch of crap.